Evening, brothers and sisters. This is Rachel Seller, the forensic nurse. Today is March 21st, 2020. I'm exposing medical crime, one misdiagnosis at a time. And today I have with me a very special guest, Dr. Michael Dim, holistic veterinarian and homeopath specializing in vaccine injury and reversing diseases in pets naturally. Welcome, doctor.
Good to be here, Rachel. I wish it was under different circumstances, but we'll have a little fun here Saturday night, I guess, right?
So where should we start?
Wow, where should we start? Well, why don't you give me, I haven't seen your recent videos. I know you've done a few. So talk to me about, I'm sure it'll flow. You just go ahead and get into what you want to talk about.
So look, here's where we're at. We need to understand that this is a patented bioweapon, okay? There's a patent for Bill and Melinda Gates are funding this with the Purebred Institute out of the United Kingdom. Bioweapons are nothing new, as you know. I was doing some research and looking at Tampa Bay that the CIA had released whooping cough. And remember the Tuskegee experiment where the men, African men, were infected with syphilis with infected swab on their penises and were also by spinal tap. So this is intrathecal. So I started questioning everything. I said, no medical practitioner should be getting up talking about confirmed cases because you can't confirm this. There's no way to confirm it. And that test, which is a polymerase chain reaction test, okay, was confirmed by a physician. That means nothing. What does that even mean? So this is a DNA harvesting operation. And I said, how do you know they're not infecting you with Q-tip that they're sticking up your nose to harvest your DNA to be weaponized and to clone you with an animal?
Wow. That's a whole mouthful. I mean, how do we you have evidence that this is what's going on, you think?
Well, this, so COVID-19, how do you confirm it? It would be an influenza test at best, but what's important to know about the PCR test is that it has a 50% false positive rate. Wow. And again, they infected people in the 1930s, the United States government, people are quick to line up for the vaccine. They're quick to line up for this fake testing, and at the end, they're going to be lining up for the mark of the beast.
Right. Well, let's say, I'm glad you brought that up. I did want to touch on the basis on this. So this type of test, which they acknowledge, most people exposed will have no symptoms. So this big urge, this is what I want to ask you. I don't care what side of medicine you're on, but this test, which let's say the vast majority of the population has no symptoms and they get over it. And so they're encouraging everyone to rush out there and get these tests. And now you're telling me they're 50%, 50% false positive, which is bad enough. That's an awful result. And, what they're doing is they're telling us to stay home, isolate ourselves, and, do the social distancing thing. But what's the rationale for frightening people every day? I mean, you could get into this every day about test, 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 test. The numbers keep going up and up and up. What are they grooming us for? I want you to talk about that. What are they grooming the masses for?
All right, look, you taught me something that was so profound. People should not be afraid of bioweapons because when you give your dog a kennel cough live vaccine, genetically modified vaccination, Bordetella bronchoseptica, which is like a whooping cough in humans, when you gave your dog that, you weren't out buying masks. Nobody was out washing their hands, and you're being exposed to a GM strain. Not only that, but people are diagnosed with idiopathic bronchitis, and it's all related to that genetically modified bioweapon that comes from the dog vaccine.
Great point, Rachel. Let me jump in. Thank you. I love the way you kind of flow with this. So in the place I used to work at up here, down over here in Jupiter, Florida, it's the Humane Society, and the office manager there, 30-something-year-old guy, young guy, had chronic bronchitis and sinusitis. He was going for x-rays and MRIs, young guy. And guess what he was doing every day of the week? Putting intranasal Bordetellas up animals' noses for years. And so it backs up clinically what I saw just right here in the Humane Society when I was doing work there.
You know, when I worked in the nursing facility, came out of school, I was pushing a pill cart, I had 30 patients, and every night I dreaded the whole nebulizing thing. All these older people had nasty coughs, nebulizers, which God knows what they're putting in the nebulizer. And I started to say, I don't even know what's in these bottles, okay? It's important that everybody needs to understand who your enemy is, okay? CDC the FDA and the HHS.gov, the very entities playing with bioweapons. These are criminal organizations, brothers and sisters. The CDC was exposed in two documentaries for covering up the whole autism thing. And Dr. Brian Hooker, who's a PhD, was part of, he used to work there. And I believe his son was even vaccine injured. So it's basically global governments at war. We are at war with our own government. And now our tax dollars are funding terrorism. So not only is this a patented bioweapon, you can look it up. Okay. It's funded by Bill and Melinda Gates. Now we're going to roll out a bioweapon, a vaccine, $8 billion or more, to basically poison everybody. They line up for this stuff. Listen, we've been exposed to bioweapons from the beginning. Chemtrails have been going on. This is the reality. You have to know what's going on in your environment.
That's right. And you know, to just to add to that, so I've written on this in social media. It's test, isolate, and eventually vaccinate. Three words. That's all the conventional medical model has to offer here. They do nothing for the side of the immune system of the human being. Every night, all three major news networks replay the same rhetoric to mind control and brainwash people over and over and over again. You see the MD correspondent on CNN, the version of it on Fox TV, the same thing over and over and over again. And they're really adding nothing to people's safety. The more they stress this test routine, and then they say, well, don't get it done if you're asymptomatic. But, you know, come on, Rachel, you and I with my animal guardians that are frightened, they're going to they can't even be reasoned with. They're just going to want the test. The positives are going to rise. The panic's going to increase. The vaccine comes out. They come in on their white horses. We have the answer. You and I both know that they don't. And if we have time tonight, I'll go into some of the animal models of that with coronavirus and dogs and cats, where that wasn't the answer. In fact, animals got sicker when they were vaccinated with dogs with their version of coronavirus and cats with theirs. So not that those are the same ones that are, you know, the human version, but it's definitely there to teach us something, you know?
Every vaccination is genetically modified, and it, by its very mechanism, that is cancer. So right. It's important that, you know, and for the ones who want to line up for the Mark of the Beast, the ones that want to line up for the test, it may be too late, because many people are so indoctrinated, and the enemy has been at work for so long, maybe too late for some people. But this is for my audience, for the people who understand where we're at in this. You know, I say people and pets are being destroyed one genetically modified cancer-laced vaccine at a time. And like I said, I'm still grieving with the loss of the dog, White Westie, who was genetically prone to injury from vaccine in the first place. And what happened to her 1 year and 4 months after the rabies shot, you know, it's like we have to look at history. We have to look at that Tuskegee experiment where they infected the African men. And so PCR, polymerase chain reaction, is no different than them telling the African men that we're treating you for bad blood. It means what?
Yeah, it means what is right. And I wish I had, you know, maybe, you know, we did a little digging, but, you know, you have all this information on the human vaccines and the components that are in there and the fetal tissues and all that. I wish I had more of that on the animal side of things. I know you were looking into that. I mean, where did you get anywhere? I mean, because I don't know.
Vaccine ingredients.
The vaccine for animals and what they're putting in there.
Yeah, bovine serum. So if you read the vaccine insert, they'll say in the human one about the bovine serum, which is cow blood, we've selected these cows to be negative of spongiform spondylitis or whatever brain-eating parasite. Okay, these cows are clean, right? So what happens when you get cows with prions, brain-eating parasites? Then your dog gets it. But not only that, you're taking the DNA from another species and you're putting it into your operating system. And that is no different than downloading malware.
Exactly. And then I think on another program, what I brought up, and you know, you ran with it with this, is that we already know in animal land that these vaccines that have the bovine albumin and other components lead to autoantibodies. So not only do you have the components of all that dire, like infectious material, but then you're also getting an autoimmune response in the animal and causing all sorts of problems with these vaccines, from thyroid problems to to neurologic issues, to all sorts of endocrine and hormonal disorders, allergies, like you said, in the Westie. And we have the information. We have the clinical information in animals. We brought up in another program, we brought up how, you know, for actually since the 90s, we knew that vaccines caused autoantibodies against the animal's own DNA, against collagen, against all the different connective tissues in the body. Oh my God, like 90% of what I see in the veterinary clinic coming from autoimmune responses. And that's before I even met you and learned all these other components that are going in, you know?
So I was telling, for brothers and sisters, everyone listen, I was telling Dr. Dim about this client that I had, that she wanted to go public with her case. She's 26-year-old female, and she was given all the flu shots all the way up through her whole life, and then Gardasil times three. This is a mold toxic client, a person, friend of mine now. She was tested for three different type of metabolites from the mold. And I started to suspect, I looked at the vaccine ingredients. I said, yeast, genetically modified yeast and clone bacteria. Now you have a mold toxic person, mold growing in the brain, a genetically modified strain, and it's no different with the dogs. So not only does she have that going on, the reverse transcriptase that gets inside the DNA and corrupts your DNA is happening to people, and it's happening to pets. It's like we have to really just realize that all vaccines are poison, because people still continue to ask, well, what about this one? But they are all poison.
They all are. They all are tainted in the ways you're saying, and they all are causing more suffering, more chronic illness, more premature death than, you know, any small worth somebody's going to make the case of. And as you know, you've talked about, and I have too, no to minimal studies for safety. You know, what do they go out maybe a couple of weeks? You and I both were taught that the immune system, when I give lectures, I remind people, you know, everyone's familiar with the type 1, like allergic reaction where you have a bee sting and you have like hives and all that happens right away if you happen to be allergic to bees. But there are type 2, 3, and 4 immune reactions that could occur days, you know, hours, days, weeks, months, years later. In humans, we remember this, they actually, you know, located a SV40 virus in the cells of brain tumor patients from the polio vaccine decades later. So this idea that doctors and veterinarians are trained in understanding immune reactions, it just, that falls short in immunology 101. It really does, right?
You know what broke my heart is like seeing my boyfriend with his dog, and that dog was actually his aunt's. She passed away. So when the dog, I remember telling him, I said, please don't give her the rabies shot. He took her to the vet one day and he came home and I said, you gave her the shot, didn't you? And he was holding the dog. I said, you know what you did? They pressured him. They made him, you know, they bullied him. And then from there it was downhill. But what really got me is at the end saying, well, she was dying and I knew she ended up with a mass here. So I actually called the veterinarian's office and I wanted to know where was the injection, because oftentimes with cancers or lymphomas, you want to find out where the injection site was, because it's often a correlation on the tails and cats, whatever. Right. He goes, well, we're going to take her to the oncologist. And the oncologist, the whole reason why we're in this mess is because of the vaccines, that she was sick. And then we're running around to the vets, wasting our time, our energy, and the heartache.
Oh, absolutely. And all they have to offer are immunosuppressive drugs like cortisone and cyclosporin or chemotherapy. That's really, you know, chronic disease 101 in conventional medicine. And, you know, it's such a tragedy. I had a call today, Rachel, just to bring it up to that. I get calls every day. I had a call today from a frantic client of mine that, you know, she has to take partial responsibility for this. But she actually, you know, took her dog to get a little skin tag removed off its eyelid. It's a pit bull mix, about 5 years old. And, you know, she has spoken to me a couple of times because the dog has chronic leaky gut and GI issues. And the dog has, you know, some anxiety and ear and skin, just like your Westie. And I actually wrote a medical exemption for the rabies vaccine as allowed by law in this state. So they take the dog to the vet. And the dog had the skin tag removed, which wasn't my idea. And at the same time, without even asking them, they vaccinated the dog for rabies, even though, and didn't even ask permission, informed consent, even though right in the chart was my letter, a legal document allowing the dog to be medically accepted. And she was beside herself. And it's just, they try to do that to me. You know, I had an injury, as you can see on my face here, when I was jogging out at a medical meeting. And when I got into the hospital, Rachel, they did a great job, the trauma team in Mesa, Arizona. But the first thing they want to do is give me a tetanus shot, give me a pneumococcus shot. I'm like, get away from me with that stuff. I'm bleeding from my face. I've got trauma, lacerations. And I'm just like, you know, come on, guys. And that's what they did to this animal, but without the owner's consent, the guardian's consent. And at least I was frightened. I couldn't even sleep at night because they kept coming at me, you know?
You know, you told me about that, and that's a really important thing, brothers and sisters. If any of you get hurt and you go to the hospital, you don't need tetanus. You do not know what they're injecting you. And here's a doctor right here. Even try to force it on him. There's one thing I want to bring up real quick before we get into solutions. And what I want to talk about is, since I did get sick weeks back with virus, okay, and everybody from West Coast all over was sick, UK was sick, it's like it's going around. This is nothing new. They spray it in the air. So I've seen a lot of reactivation of herpes or Epstein-Barr. So with that happening now, let's get into some solutions.
Absolutely. Yeah, go ahead. Shoot. Let's get into some.
I mean, like, in, for the sake of people or pets, whatever it is. So, you know, like dealing with these viruses naturally. Okay.
So, vitamin C, you know, the study in China, you know, with coronavirus, with the IV high dose vitamin C. A colleague just mailed me a paper, well bibliography, well researched, a laundry list of prestigious docs. Do you think they're discussing that on CNN, Fox and CNBC? Of course not. Other things like high dose zinc, vitamin D, magnesium. These are all things. And interestingly, you know, my homeopathic teacher and colleague worked up the few remedies that would address the symptom pictures of this disease. And wouldn't you know it, Rachel, it's so interesting. The two homeopathic remedies, which obviously we're not getting into details of homeopathy, but the two that came up as treating as a preventative for the masses, and as also something that could treat early infection so effectively. And before I get into that, I should say that, you know, epidemics, guys, have been much better treated and prevented with homeopathy throughout history. Okay, it's been documented. This isn't like we're making this up. The influenza epidemic of 1918, the people that were treated with homeopaths in this country, United States of America, did far better than the Western medical treated people. Okay, now the AMA came along and all the other wonderful stuff over the 20th century. But the people say homeopathy is garbage, it's this and that. Hey, this is where homeopathy needs to shine, Sanjay Gupta and the rest of you on these programs. You know, come off of it.
Oh, yeah. This is a thing that really bothers me. Okay, look, guys. Anybody who's reading off a teleprompter is fake news. And I mean no disrespect to any doctor, but I'm gonna give you the facts, brothers and sisters. If they're not talking about the methods and the testing and the, I said, doctor, have you seen the test result with your own eyes? You're gonna tell me there's 9,000 cases. All right, look, not for the drugs. If I were the devil and I was going to engineer a crisis, this would have been planned well in advance, and I would spray the masks and I would infect the drugs with nanotechnology. Cipro is nanotechnology in it. I actually have a doctor friend. She's an acupuncture physician. She couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. I said, when was your last vaccination? She said, I had hepatitis A, she had hepatitis B, but ever since she took the Cipro, her stomach was never the same. So I did a little digging and I found nanotechnology in the Cipro. I'm like, okay, we'll ask the pharmacist. How do I know which Cipro has it and which doesn't? And they don't even know. They're oblivious. This is real. You can look up the government paper. It's artificially laser etched gold, which isn't even real gold. It's so disgusting. They're using crushed up, and some of the drugs, they have crushed up shells of locust, genetically modified shrimp, and like the carcasses of genetically modified bugs, beetles, locust, and shrimp, and it's crushed up and put in the drugs. And that is disgusting.
Unbelievable, you know. Yeah. And so with something like this, let's get back to the solutions that you're saying. So with homeopathy, the two remedies that came up, one is Nux Vomica, which I won't get into what that is.
Oh, I have it.
The other one, Arsenicum Malum. While Nux represents, if you look at the essence of the remedy, anger, and a lot of anger and suppressed anger. And so people that are becoming sick, our society, Rachel, as you know, we have a very angry and frightened society. We have a president who has some issues, whether you support him or you don't. You know, his personality does have some issues. And so you have this anger in our country on more on multiple sides of politics. And then the other remedy that came up that can address as a preventative and a treatment is arsenic amalgam, which is one of the remedies that addresses, that is the biggest remedy indicated for fear. And so you can't, you know, our country is full of fear right now, full of it. And that's what's led. Anger and fear has energetically manifested also this. I'm talking about it now from a different angle, but how interesting that these two remedies may be the clues to actually preventing and treating and saving people and saving lives. If people can get the information to make informed decisions, you know, on this.
It's funny because when you get into the energetic perspective, let's say you take a DNA, right? Have a strand and you were to measure the vibration in hertz and you were to measure that frequency. If I inject you with the genetically modified strain, and let's say your frequency is glowing, right? It's at whatever hertz, and then you're going to modify it. It's going to change. It's going to dim. It's going to lower the frequency. So fear and all these things that you're talking about, you know, how dogs will have behavior issues or whatever. Right. You're talking about deep energetic trauma. DNA sequence has been altered. So this is very profound and very deep.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. I like to like break it down. Sometimes the audiences can get a little confused by all this kind of esoteric talk, but most people out there probably know who Albert Einstein is, right? And he said that energy E equals MC squared, okay? So every mass that exists in the universe has an energy and a speed associated with it in basic physics, okay? So when you inject a vaccine into an animal or human being, you are altering, there's energy in it, you are altering the vibration and the energetic frequency of that being forever, whether, you know, and that's just, you know, basic physics. You're injecting an energy along with the mass. And that's why killed viruses from a energetic medicine perspective can make animals sick. They actually can show symptoms of the real disease. I've had animals that have had vaccines for rabies. I had one come into my home that I had come down from North Florida because she couldn't afford treatment anywhere. And I really just felt so badly for a young German Shepherd. Got its rabies vaccines at 3 or 4 months of age. And literally showed every symptom of rabies within a few days. And Pryor was a happy-go-lucky puppy. And we treated this dog, and it did better with energy medicine and detoxing and liver cleanses and all that. But, you know, this is real, guys. And, you know, I know it can be a little complicated when we talk about it on these videos, but there's an energy and a vibration to everything, Rachel. The DNA, the vaccines, you and me. There's an energy that makes our body talk and my hands go back and forth. We're not just a bunch of parts, you know, and that's really what it is. It's physics. That's really what it comes down.
This is so true. So when you look at the aborted fetus, you know, it's, I've heard the horror stories of the women who used to work in the abortion clinics that what was the drug that they give to basically kill the baby in utero, and then they're supposed to just have a stillbirth, and then sometimes they come out alive. I can't remember the drug.
I don't remember.
The baby survived the abortion, and so they let him die cold in the pan. And then also that I've heard that they were harvesting the organs while they're still alive. Okay, yeah. So this Planned Parenthood. But listen, that energy, what I say is you're injecting murder and death. True. So if you were to crush... So if you killed the baby, if you aborted it, and you crushed the skull within the womb, the womb that is now a tomb, would there not be an energetic imprint of death on that?
Totally, and I'll give you some proof from the animal side. So when an animal, and homeopaths know this, so even though you're not a homeopath, maybe you were in a past life. So if you have a dog that was ill from rabies vaccine, I've seen this several times, ill from chronic illness post-vaccine, bites another little dog on a walk. That little dog will then show the symptoms in a lot of occasions of the dog that, you know, is angry and biting at that dog. And I've seen many times, you know, bitten animals develop that aggression and fear, not just fear, you know, because obviously they might be afraid because they were attacked on their walk, but their personalities can change. People that have had, I've heard this, animals and people that have had blood transfusions, which, and then you can get into, oh, you're all well, that their personalities change, and then you could look at it from your angle with what's being injected linearly, materially, but there's an energy to it. There's an energy to everything, everybody. Energy is the basis of the biochemical world, what Rachel talks about all the time, and it's the basis of the physical world. And the energetic world is unseen. That doesn't mean that, you know, theories of health and disease in terms of homeopathy, Chinese medicine, and the way we treat patients at that level, just because we don't see it in the biochemical laboratory doesn't mean it's not valid and doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Most quantum physicists, Rachel, don't even measure, they can't see the particles. If I drop a pen on the floor like this, you don't see gravity. I mean, come on, guy. I mean, that's our egos have to try and master everything, but there's a whole world there, and that's where these people, animals and people are getting sick at that level as well.
So I'll prove that for everyone. So when we look at B12 or we look at vitamin C, when we take quantum physics as a way of measuring energy, all right, so that has a vibration, right? That vitamin C is good for me. And then you can even muscle test, okay, does the body respond positively? Because what happens in vaccine-injured people is they have like an allergic response to literally everything. My mold toxic client, she is so allergic to everything basically because her immune system has been in fight or flight for so long. So the chlorella even, fulvic minerals have even been an issue. So we can measure the frequency of B12, but just remember this, if you have albumin, that's your protein in your blood, and I'm an A blood type, and I go get a blood transfusion, and you give me the wrong blood type, that's disastrous. It's no different in the vaccine when you're taking the blood, the albumin from another human. Just remember that. It's like getting a transfusion of the wrong thing. So people say, well, I had my vaccines and I'm fine. You're fine right now. And praise God that you'll stay fine, but right. it comes later after those retroviruses weave into your DNA, and the reverse transcriptase, which is, you know, it's basically destroying the chemical message in your DNA of how it's making a new copy. It's corrupted.
Right. And isn't it wild that the vaccine, and we'll get into that, I just wanted to touch on, you know, we're saying so much in this half hour. That the vaccine, and you could elaborate more on this, that they're trying to come out with coronavirus is supposed to be a messenger RNA vaccine, right? So they're tricking our cells even in a different way right now. And let me just say before you like get into that, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we have in dogs and cats, let's look at the cat because that's really more pronounced. Cats have in their bodies, a vast majority of them, their own coronavirus. Okay, we know, and it's not the same one that's infecting people, but at least as far as I know. But as we know in animal land, that these cats that are carrying these coronaviruses, that for some reason, stress, poor hygiene, nutritional stress, vaccines, that those viruses, these benign coronaviruses in the cat, those of you who have cats, can mutate and convert into the what's called a virulent FIP as in Paul strain, FIP. And then when they try, and so that conversion, that mutation occurs with stress, fear, poor nutrition, toxins, pesticides, vaccines, chemtrails, all of it. And so we tried to develop a vaccine because once cats developed fatal FIP, you can't, or symptoms, there's no treatments, just like they're finding with this particular, you know, corona in people, even though they're trying to tell you to use old malarial drugs. But the thing is that we came up with vaccines, and I want you to comment on this, and the vaccines for FIP in cats failed. They failed because the animals that died, the animals that got clinical FIP, as in Paul, innately or naturally, it was an overactive immune response to coronavirus in their own body. That's what I'm saying. They were stimulated to have an autoimmune response to their own coronavirus, and that converted it into a mutated form in some sort of fashion. So the vaccine came out, and it's no longer available anymore. It's no longer on the market because it made cats sicker, and it caused more symptoms in the infected animals, and it just was a total failure. So the lesson of cats and coronavirus, dogs that were puppies that have coronavirus, the vaccines, guys, stunk. I can only imagine what these vaccines that are going to come out, you know, for people on this.
Well, I mean, it's one thing I really want to stress this. Most people cannot even define vaccine. And we really need to define this whole thing. Yeah. Anything that you're injecting into your body that's a neurotoxic substance should be titled as just that. Because the word vaccine has just become so convoluted. And I said to a doctor, so there's a doctor, Dr. Kenneth Stoller, it's out in the public now, that the CDC has charged him with gross negligence for writing vaccine exemptions outside the CDC guidelines. Well, what the hell does that mean? Well, we know there are criminal for a criminal organization, okay? They are corrupt. They covered up the autism thing. So now they want to attack this man and take his license away. But he said, you need to redefine vaccine, okay? Because what is it? This is poison. And so we talk about it like studies and who? Who's doing the studies? Because everything is corrupted. And I keep saying to people, where does a nurse go to report a crime when every institution is corrupt from the top down?
Exactly. You can't, you have to read who's funding the research, who's getting, you know, vested. I mean, it's, you know, our, you know, everybody, and they, you know, that's a whole other issue. You know, my conventional colleagues in veterinary medicine, I'm sure the same in the medical profession, are always saying, well, we don't believe in that holistic thing because there's no evidence-based, double-blind, God knows what studies. Well, you know what? I'm going to tell the audience, 80 to 90% of veterinary medical care is trial by error. No, you know, there's no evidence-based according to, you know, their definition of it. It's a total hypocritical, like, label they put on people that are homeopaths and energy medicine practitioners and functional medicine docs. And they themselves don't practice their version of evidence-based medicine. It's ludicrous.
Well, you know, look, I think this is a time for us to have unity. One thing that we're lacking is unity in the medical community, in the spiritual, whatever it is. Yes. We need to unite in the spirit of truth. So I want practitioners to hear this message. I mean, here's the deal. When you dig up the history, there was a video floating around on LinkedIn saying the history of the American Medical Association. So homeopaths were always around from the beginning, and what ended up happening was it was a competition. So here was the regular allopath, here was the allopath. He gave people the option to choose between homeopathic and allopathic, and it became a competition because, look, guys, everything we need to heal is in nature. And I've got people will tell me about their, whenever I treat my clients, I end up helping with their pets too. They give them the diatomaceous earth, the cats and the dogs, and they get better. Rapidly, without any drugs. Some of the worst parasite infections in humans have been dealt with, you know, diatomaceous earth. So, like, we have to really look at the truth here. Evidence-based.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because what that happened in the turn of the century, because I did a lecture on this. What happened was, as, you know, the conventional docs, the allopaths, you know this, you do this long enough, it's cookbook medicine, folks. In other words, after you do it a while, I can recite the drug dosages, the surgical procedures, it's all the same stuff. The homeopaths, the holistic practitioners like yourself, have to sit down with their patient, learn about what the patient's condition is, the history, and that's lost in today's doctor. It's all about expensive tests, you know, the healthcare system and what it's evolved to. And there's no personal touch. There's nobody with us really listening to your heart, putting their hands on the animal, the person. There's no history taken. So the homeopaths, like, they had to keep up with the times and back then, and they were just financially pushed out as well because, you know, people wanted to, you know, make the money and do it quicker. And look what we have now, everybody. We have a healthcare system that's so automated, so non-individualized, and to get healthier, it does take time and patience. There isn't a quick fix in a vaccine bottle or in a pill. Sometimes it's lifestyle changes. You have to kind of go through stuff like Rachel and I talk about. We both had challenges in our health in the past, you know, and it's, you know, there's no quick fix once your body's, you know, toxic. So that's something I wanted to stress also. You know?
I'm glad. Listen, let me give you an update with this girl, and this is going to solidify the whole homeopathy thing. So the clients that I get are mostly vaccine injured people. Okay. So they have layers of issues. So the standard stuff, and I do the best that I can helping people, you know, that are in different states. So chlorella, the simple things can even be reactive, allergic. The things that would normally be just fine, they are so hypersensitive. She started to listen to this. She went to see a homeopath in New York. He muscle tested her. He saw that a lot of what she was using was having no effect. It wasn't working. So, and she wasn't getting better. So again, she's got the genetically modified mold growing in her. And she had the dysautonomia, which is the heart rate that's going to spike up for no reason because we got aluminum in the brain and we've got mold. She's actually 6 weeks into his protocol. She's doing better. He has her on, I don't know if it's some kind of homeopathic, but hold on, there's our timer. Not some Japanese knotweed. And she's seeing a homeopath basically, but she's starting to get improvement, at least eliminating the stuff that's not working with her. But look, bedside diagnostics. Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt is a medical doctor in the United States. He's German neurobiologist. He palpates with his hands, guys. This is lost art. if you're a practitioner or a veterinarian, this is the time now to learn the healing arts that's been
right. Suppressed. That's what's lost, Rachel.
We need these people on the front lines. We need people to put aside their pride, put aside this right. evidence-based thing, and look, we're in a crisis. We need right. everyone we can to the front lines to be, you know, turning a new leaf.
And that's why I got upset with this past few weeks, or really you and I have spoken about this, is like, you know, of course I understand what the major news networks, you know, what their angle is, who funds who they are. But you know what? You have nothing to offer people in terms of real prevention, real therapy. At least bring it on stage with you. I mean, at least bring it on stage. Come on. I mean, give me a break. I mean, you know, people asking questions to Gupta across the world. Not one about, you know, anything about nutrients, vitamins, antioxidants, nothing. That to me is inexcusable. I'm sorry, Rachel.
It is. It's absolutely unacceptable. And what I say is, again, you know, the teleprompter thing and leading people astray. So Dr. Jerome Adams is the Surgeon General, the guy with the hat, out of Illinois. I call him Surgeon Genocide because he's saying get the HPV shot. He's advising our president, which, listen, I'm not into politics, okay? I have a ministry. This President Trump is being led astray because he trusts yes. them. He said he wants them to be able to, he wants to delegate and know that it's going to get done because he's got 50 battles going on at once. And then you have Alex Azar, the HHS.gov, standing up there with, you know, and they wear these colored ties that I know they're signals. Like when President Trump signed that $8 billion thing, he was standing behind him in a hot pink tie. You know what? It all has a meaning to it, and he's leading.
It always does.
These are the people that are leading you astray.
Absolutely! Wow, this has been fun. I mean, right. Well, fun.
Look, why don't we're going to wrap it up, guys. If you have a pet, it doesn't matter where you live. Dr. Michael Dim can do the phone consults. If your pet has any type of illness, autoimmune, cancer, contact Dr. Dim. It's drdym.com. And Doc, I'm just so thankful that you came on with me today to talk
thank
about
you.
This.
Thank you. I mean, I'm in my home here with, you know, my apartment here. I'm just, you know, it's quiet, so it's been good chat.
Lockdown. Then real quick, so some natural solutions. Okay, so like, okay, we got sick pets. They'll have to consult with you because we're not
going
to get
into it. Yeah, it's hard to do, like, you know, yeah. bullet points. But yeah, I think we covered some of the things for the people to really look at. And, of course, contacting you. Because, like I said, this is, you know, we're not getting anything empowering from our news media and our government on how we can be healthier. And that's the take-home point here. It's like everybody's waiting for the savior, the rescuer, big pharma, et cetera. Who's going to develop the vaccine? Where are the studies and the antiviral drugs? How do we overcome the FDA's, you know, guidelines? It is just crazy. Test, 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 test. All this fear. God, they're creating their own nightmare.
So one of my favorite memes that I made real quick, it was like a DNA strand and it said, color me scientific. I'm bleeding genetically modified evidence based on nothing that matters. GMO cannibals and injecting aborted fetal tissue.
Oh God. On that note, I'm going to have a glass of wine. All right.
All right, guys. Listen, Rachel Seller, the forensic nurse here with Dr. Michael Dim, a homeopath from Florida. Thank you so much. You can reach me at theforensicnurse.org. Signing off. Stay right with me, Doc.
All right.
And we're stopping.